141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we reflect on a huge night in the title race since Scotland Rangers are held to a draw in Dundee, meaning they trail Celtic with 3 points, 5 games to go. Philippe Clement says he did get a positive reaction though, and he still has faith in their title challenge. And of course the game eventually going ahead at the third time of asking, but Dundee have now been fined by the SPFL. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, since the final whistle went at Celtic Park on Saturday, what a week it's been for Celtic without even kicking the ball. Rangers going to Ross County and losing, who could have foreseen that, and then following it up with last night's result. But I think the result's bad enough for Rangers fans. It's a performance at this time of the season that will be alarming, and probably some of the post-match comments from Philippe Clement, slightly strange in his assessment of the full thing. But what we've got is 5 games to go, 3 points in it, and a Celtic Rangers game to look forward to.
Yeah, it's certainly heating up. I think if you're a Rangers supporter going up to Dingwall or even watching the game on Sunday, you're thinking by Thursday we could probably be top of the league, be in a good position, be in a comfortable position, not even needing to go to Celtic Park and win. Now the pressure's on. And I agree with Mark. I watched the game last night. I think we'll get a lot of disappointed Rangers fans on this phone internet.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. What a night we have in store, because there is a lot to get through. Rangers fans, it's kind of a rerun of Monday, except it's worse because it's the second time within a week, isn't it? So how do you sum up last night? Where did it go wrong? What did you make of the performance? What did you make of Philippe Clement's post-match comments? And ultimately, what do you make of the title race? Those are the core points, but I'm sure we will stray off into various other directions, and you have to call the number to do so. 0141 951 1025. It is again the same story as Monday, where Dundee deserve immense credit, but here on Planet Glasgow, most of that will probably get forgotten about, and it will be a full post-mortem into what went wrong for Philippe Clement and his Rangers side. So what's angering you most? Is it individual players? Is it a team effort? Is it the way the manager set things up? Is it the way the reaction has come across? How do you look at the title race as well? Now, give us a call. We've got a lot to get through. 0141 951 1025. I guess disappointment is always held up against expectation, and as you say, I think that's why, Gordon, we're about to witness what we're about to witness between now and 8 o'clock, because last night was supposed to be the night, in the eyes of many Rangers fans, that they went top, never mind the situation they now find themselves in.
I said on Tuesday night show before a game that someone asked me the question, Celtic favourites? I says, yeah, probably slight favourites, but I think they're big favourites now.
It's gone from slight to big.
Well, they're 5 goals behind as well. They've not got a great record at Celtic Park. Okay, there's still more difficult games to come, and there's certainly a way back for Rangers. But in the last 2 games, they've been really, really disappointing. Now, I will guarantee you one thing, as long as I'm sitting here tonight, we will be fed up listening to Rangers fans moaning about James Tavernier, Conor Goldson and John Lindstrom.
Whoa. Guaranteed. No spoilers. It's only 5 past 6.
Guaranteed.
Don't bother phoning in then. There you go. He's just the did
first,
it for you.
The first Rangers Any caller chance? Will be Tavernier. He's not a Rangers captain. It happens every time. Listen.
You've got that in your bingo card, have you?
The reason I'm saying this is these three guys play normally most of the game. Nail every game. If they're fit, every game. So they'll come under the spotlight a lot more. And Rangers have been disappointing the last 2 games. Now, I listen to Ray. I've got to be honest, I'm a massive fan of the Rangers manager, right? I thought he'd come into Rangers and you're looking thinking, yeah, this is a proper manager. Everything he says, the way he goes about his business, right on track. Look at what he's getting out of these Rangers players that, Michael Beale and couldn't get a tune out of them. All of a sudden, they're in the title race, they've won a cup, they're in the semi-final. So everything was looking good. I don't know if the Rangers fans will agree with me, but the last 2 interviews I've heard the Rangers manager has completely surprised me, taken me back. I know that you just can't come out and blast your players, especially when they've got a semi-final against Hearts. But to come out last night and try and make out that Rangers were a bit unlucky, I don't buy into that scenario with
Well, I was going to say, if Tavernier, Goldson and Lundstrom are going to get criticism, then surely the Rangers manager has to take some. Because Daz is right. Since he's come in, everything has been going one way for him, and he's certainly made a positive impact. But recently, when you look at the results, but the selection, if people are going to criticise Tavernier and Goldson and Lundstrom for continually playing and playing poorly and being the cause of certain goals, it's the manager that picks them, and he should be able to see that as well. So the buck stops with the manager. Although the players are easy targets and should do better on certain occasions, the buck stops with the manager. And in recent performances, his report card hasn't looked very good.
Right, you've got the game last night, the performance, the result, the post-match comments, the title race, and the news today about the Dundee pitch as well, because they've been fined by the SPFL. They've sort of come out swinging as well. They're not too happy about the way that's been reported. So if you've any thoughts there, please do share them. Usual number 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at ClydeSSB if you want to air your grievances. Please do. Let's start with Andy, who's on the line. Andy, what words would you use to describe Rangers last night?
How you doing, guys? Pretty pathetic, same as last Sunday. It was even more pathetic. But I mean, I like comment, but I just don't know what he's saying. It was a positive reaction. I mean, where was the positive reaction last night? And Cantwell was non-existent. You know, all the ball, we couldn't do anything with it. Again, and again, we nearly lost a goal in the first minute. You've got your watch. I mean, that's two games I've been watching now. And you know, you meant to go and watch, enjoy football, but I ain't enjoying it at all now. And Sunday is now massive.
I don't think Cantwell was alone last night. You look at Rangers midfield last night, they get dominated. Tom Lawrence, for instance, I know he'd been out for a long time, injury and whatever. Very good player. Didn't see him at all last night. Cantwell running about, looked busy, didn't create a lot. Lundstrom seems to have fallen off the pace again. But you look throughout their whole team just now, And fair play to the manager. He put his substitutions on. He tried to change it. He tried to be more positive. Everything about it. What we're getting away from, first and foremost, and let's not take away from them, Dundee, I thought, were very well organised and looked decent. The pitch actually looked decent as well. I know it probably wasn't, but it looked all right. So no excuses there. That's why I was saying, and I think Andy's backed up my point, if you're a Rangers fan, you're sitting here, you're looking at this manager who's been absolutely brilliant. Let's not take anything away from him. He's been brilliant since he came in. But the last two games, Ross County and Dundee's come out with comments that I just don't know if maybe a little bit of pressure's starting to seep in a little bit.
I think as a manager at this stage, and the pressure's on you, Daz, right, you need to be careful how you conduct yourself pre and post match, because there's so much scrutiny now for managers. You know, fans hang on their every word pre-match, and then they need to follow up post-match realistically. You know, you can't really pull the wool over fans' eyes, suppose, like you used to, when things weren't televised so much, or the social media wasn't so in your face. But when you're coming out with things that clearly aren't true, it's not going to stack up with the Rangers fans. They know what they've witnessed over the past couple of days. They know what they witnessed for 45 minutes against Celtic. And then when you look back at the recent results in the last eight games, 1-2, they know what they're witnessing at the wrong time of the season. So you need to be careful what you say and how you say it to keep them on side.
I think you're right there, Martin. I think this is what worrying the Rangers supporters. This is a business end, as we call it, the season, right? They were right in there. Me, and if they'd won Sunday and one on Wednesday, I'd have put them slight favourites to go and win the league, right? That's how close it was. They've picked up 5 out of the last 15 points. You ain't going to win the league like that. I don't care who you are. You ain't going to win the league with that form.
Does it feel like the title race has been blown, Andy?
Well, we'll put a big dent in for ourselves, you know what I mean? I'm not giving up on it, but we've got to turn the corner, and it's got to come Sunday. We've got to just do something. I don't know. I don't know why didn't he start Matondo last night. How did he start? But we've just got to turn a corner quickly. I'm not giving up now, but obviously Celtic are favourites now.
Well, thanks Andy for his thoughts. Let's bring in Craig. Craig, what sort of emotions do you feel after that last night?
Numb, to be perfectly honest with you. That's the overriding one. I sent your producer there watching the game last night. 30 minutes into the game, I turns around and goes to my mate, "We're not even taking a point out of this," which we did. And it was just one of the games. And see, to be honest with you, see if you were a neutral and you said, "Tell me the team that's chasing the league title last night," you'd have said the team in blue, if you didn't know any better. Gordon said at the start of the show there, you know, they're going to get a lot of calls about Tav, Goldson and Lundstrom. I'm going to give you a really weird example here, right, and bear with me. See, if you start a new job, it's the senior guys in the company, your manager, your line manager, whatever, that come to you and set expectations, right? Your role is this, you're going to do this, your targets are this. These guys have got, I don't know how many managers sacked, and there's a running joke that they three would get Guardiola the sack. It's probably not far off the truth. That's maybe a wee bit over the top, but there was a, just before my let you guys come back in, the final, sorry, as if it's my show.
It is well sure on the phone. You carry on, don't you worry about that.
The final point is, well, not the final point, but my final point at this point is, Goldson played one of his diagonal balls last night. He's been doing that since 2018, right? Goldson's not the player he was. I think we can all agree on that. Tav's not the player he was. Lundstrom's just down tools, whether he's not getting a new contract, I don't know. But he played one of his diagonal balls. That worked when he was hitting Morelos, who can hit the hold the ball up. Kemar Roof can't do that. And Clement turned around and shook his head and looked at the floor as if to say, what is this guy doing? I get it's on the manager, but how long do you go on sacking managers and let these three guys remain? I know one of them's off in the summer because he's not getting a new contract, but we're stuck with Tav and Goldson, and it's just... Sorry, this will be like an absolute rant here. But
Craig, listen, that is what we're here for. I can almost sense the emotion because you're now getting carried away and the thoughts are rumbling on. You don't need to apologise to us, just you take it away.
Well, as I say, I think, how do you get rid of them? Because, you know, and that might sound a bit extreme, but it's got to that point now because, as I say, I don't know if people understand that example I gave about you start a new job, you know, managers will say, right, this is what you need to do. Tav and Goldson are supposed to be the guys that are sent to new players, like your Butlins, like your Danilos. I know he's injured just now, but the guys that came in this summer, you know, be saying to Tav and Goldson, right, what's the expectations? What's it like at Rangers? They're the ones supposed to be setting the standard. And Tom Lawrence, Gordon touched on Tom Lawrence, that guy's on upwards of 25 grand a week, and he offers next to nothing. And Conor Goldson, a couple of years ago, played in a Europa League final, and he was out of contract, and nobody wanted him. So for people saying that we'll just sell Tav and Goldson, I'm not being disrespectful to my own players, you know, as a Rangers fan, but nobody's going to come in and buy these guys. So I don't know what the solution is, but I'm fully behind Philip Clement. His comments were strange. If he really believes what he said last night, then there's a bigger problem. But I believe it was, we can't throw these guys under the bus. Gerrard done that and they chucked it out under Gerrard. So I'll leave that with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we're going to get calls about James Tavernier, Conor Goldson. That doesn't mean it's wrong, though.
No.
You know, and Craig feels like a lot of Rangers fans, I think, who are just worried about that side of the back line, certainly in a defensive sense. I mean, like, funnily enough, Rangers didn't concede last night. So it's not like that last night was down to some massive defensive frailty. But they do seem to be a real target for the frustrations at the moment.
Yeah, and I think it is because I touched on it at the top of the show, Gordon. These guys start nearly every game. Now, you can one all it down. Goldson's been good for Rangers, but I totally agree. And I think most Rangers fans are now deciding that Goldson's went back a little bit. He looks a bit slower. The balls that he usually used to play, the diagonals, the balls through to centre forwards, they weren't working. He had a couple last night that were poor. Lundstrom, since Clement come in, has been excellent. Now, he's now labelled with the tag of, well, if he's not getting a new contract, is he down tools?
Wasn't his first poor game last night, though. It feels like there's been a couple now.
Yeah. He's went off for him. I respect anybody's opinion in football. I've not got a problem with it, right? So I hope that people will respect a wee bit of mine. I can't understand the Tavernier thing for life of me. And I know that he's got his weaknesses. I know the defensive side of it sometimes, but you said they had a clean sheet last night. Has he played well in the last few games? No, I think he got caught up with the Celtic game when he made the mistake early on. Tavernier, for me, has been absolutely brilliant. Maybe he just needs somebody to push him again.
Or then, right, let's take it a step further. I don't want to put words in Craig's mouth, but is it actually just because overall Rangers fans are fed up? They feel like these guys, whilst they might individually actually be quite good, these guys are representative of a period of time at the club which hasn't been as successful as they want it to be, basically. So whilst it's not James Tavernier's fault or Conor Goldson's fault or John Lundstrom's fault, Craig and other Rangers fans are saying this needs refreshed, this needs moved forward.
Yeah, but tell me, okay, Clement could come out and prove me wrong here. Tell me where you're going to get somebody that's got to cover Tavernier's stats.
Numbers. No, numbers. Again,
right. Absolutely no chance.
I do get that, but I think Craig and others are viewing it as this package mark of almost, you know, a period of, it's not been failure over the board because they've won a Scottish Cup, they've won a league, they've got to a European final. But they're seeing a sort of, it feels like they're seeing a bigger picture. I don't think Craig's saying last night was James Tavernier's fault. That's not what he's saying.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that, Gordon. I would agree with what you're saying there. And I also agree with Daz on Tavernier and these numbers. You won't get somebody to replace him, but maybe you get someone to fit the overall package better, that can see out games and someone else comes up with a 1-0, the goal for 1-0, rather than this guy who continually scores from right back, but he's more solid defensively. And maybe that's what it needs. It has been the same unit for a long time at Rangers. It has went a long period of time with this. Seems like the same sort of failures. Seems like we've been sitting on this show for a number of years, and there's always a period of the season that Rangers go through a bad period, and it's the same arguments, and we go round the houses again. But it's year after year after year. Now, yes, there's been some success in there, and of course, a European final is the pinnacle of that. But you know, for Rangers not to win one title in what, 12 years, is unacceptable for their fans. And these guys have been over the course and did it again. Now, they've done great this season, up to a certain point. And I said it on Saturday, just my departing line was, it's never easy at this time of the season, even if you're playing the second bottom place team, Ross County.
Should these conversations wait until we know for sure who wins the league this season?
Without a doubt. But what I was pointing out is, at this pressure point, Tavernier, Goldson and Barisic and the guys that have been there before seem to falter when it really matters. Now, they may go on and prove me wrong, but in the last 8 games or so, it's fallen a familiar pattern.
It's hard to argue that, Matt, right? And I'm with you, I totally agree with you. But we're talking about these guys that are associated with failure. Rangers are the only team, and I'm not saying they're going to, they've still got an opportunity to win a treble here. Now, okay, you look at the character of Sunday and Wednesday, and you probably doubt that massively, that's going to happen, but they've still put themselves in a position that they can win a treble. So we can't sit here and just label these guys just now as failures. We might do in 6-7 weeks down the line, but just now, they're still in a position, and it's going to be a hard position to get out of, but they need to show a bit of character for me.
Scott is going to be on the line next. He's got some thoughts on Philippe Clement, and you can hear him after the travel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson about to be joined by Scott, who is on the line. How are you feeling about last night, Scott?
The same as I did the game before, which doesn't surprise me though. Just on the Philip Clement's words after the game, I don't think he believed, and I don't believe anybody said 100% he was only protecting his players. Clement came in 5 months ago. He's got the best out of the players of what he possibly could. Now that he's settled in, I think that's stopped. And I think over the last 2 games, Philip Clement will probably find out absolutely more about his players now than he ever will. And he'll realise that we just have not got the players. They're mediocre. they lifted their game for Clement coming in to get a game, and the biggest disappointment, well, a few of them, but I cannot understand the blue-eyed boy in his eyes for Lundstrom. Lundstrom, I've said for years, slows a game of football down, and it allows the other team to get back in shape, whatever. He went last night, and even with 5 minutes to go, he's shouting, asking defenders for the ball, and he passed it back to them with 3.5 minutes to go. That's not a creative player for me. He's going back to the 18-yard line and doing things that were centre-halves to do. The other point, I've got loads of points, but I do not understand where we're footballs at now. It's long balls. It's guys that can't pass a decent ball. I'll tell you who we're really missing now. Diamandé, a creative midfielder. But I think, again, you know, two games ago, I was confident we'd go in the league. The league's done now. Absolutely done. Give Celtic that cup right now.
How annoying is that, Scott, then, that's changed so quickly?
It's very annoying, but it's not the manager's fault. It's the players. And I think Mark said that when I came in. I think I've briefly heard him saying, when it comes down to the crunch, some of these players just can't do it. I don't know if it's the pressure, what it is, but they can't do it.
What do you believe more then? An ability thing or a mentality, a bottle thing? What's the main contributor to that?
You know, for me, a professional football player has got to have all of that. You can't just have one thing. It's the ability, the mentality, the desire, the playing for a jersey. I watched that last night, and I'm looking at Cantwell, I'm looking at just luckily players, and they're strolling about past the ball so casually, and I'm like, no. And my day, you would play for, I'm in my 50s now, in my day, you'd have played for Rangers for nothing. These guys are getting paid this money, they know, no matter what. And half of these guys aren't even Rangers supporters. You know, get guys in that support the team or fight for that jersey.
Do you think that really matters, though, that stuff, Scott? I mean, you look at, just to make a really obvious example, I don't think Kyogo or Rio Hitati or Matt O'Reilly, you know, they're not Celtic fans. You know, if you're a good enough player, does that stuff really matter?
It does matter, but I agree with what you're saying there about, now, I'll admit this and I'll say it, Celtic have got much better technical players, and if Rangers fans don't want to admit that, then they don't know much about football, right? We do not have the same technical, skillful players as what Celtic have. When Clement came in, we got a rhythm going where we were probably a better team unit, but Celtic have much better single players than us. In fact, 9 of our players out of 11 are just so much better than our players. The only player I'd give a pass mark in our team is Butland. That's it. Dessers, Cantwell, centre halves, right back, left back, everywhere. They don't have the same ability.
I think you've covered a lot of good ground. Let's start where you started, which was Philippe Clement's comments. You said, you know, you don't think he believes it. You think he's just sticking up for his players. And let's hear, because people keep referring to some of the comments. You might not have heard them. These aren't them all, obviously. He did TV interviews, which caught the eye first. He's come in and spoken to us, and he says he did think that he got a good reaction from his players last night.
Yes, of course, it's a good reaction, but I know for journalists, for fans, that sometimes only looking at the result. I saw players who give everything to get the result. And it's not easy against a team who play man marking all over the pitch and follow you, even if you go to the toilet. So to create the space, we created the chances. The chances were there. Also on a pitch that's bumpy, and it's difficult to control a ball in moments and do the decisive things. But those are no excuses. My team give today everything. I was angry, I was disappointed on Sunday. Today I've seen a team who could, of course, do things better. Of course. But I saw a team who wanted to do everything to get the result and play out of the structure that we always used last couple of months. And because of that we've been decisive also.
I wonder about this, Scott. I've been fascinated by the reaction. I leave the tactics and the way the players are feeling to these guys. I'm always quite interested in what people say and what they mean by it. And you and loads of other Rangers fans are very quick to say, oh listen, he doesn't believe that, and he's just sticking up for his players. And what do you expect? Do you expect him to throw them under the bus? I do wonder though, Scott, is there not a happy medium? Can you not stay away from throwing your players under the bus, stay away from slaughtering them, but also don't tell people things that they did not see in the game? You know, I wonder if is there not a bit of balance there that Philippe Clement could have struck? I mean, he said there, you know, sometimes maybe for fans they think it's all about the result. Well, for you and your fellow Rangers fans, it was all about the result last night.
It was about the result last night and only the result, but some of the comments that he made, and I don't blame him, because I wouldn't like him to throw any players under the bus.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, Mark. I keep hearing this, right, and I get it. This is the English language we're talking about. You can choose any words you like. Why are we pretending like there are only two options? Either you throw the players under the bus or you say what Philippe Clement said last night. There is a massive gap in the middle where you can find balance. And if you want to keep the players on side, you can say, do you know what, that wasn't really good enough tonight, but I've got full faith in this group of players. They've shown me time and time again they're good players. I totally believe we can do this. I didn't think we were far off, but this wasn't good and that wasn't good. You don't need to, you don't have to go as far as Philippe Clement did.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. And look, this is a manager who has spoke very well in front of the media since he's arrived in this country, and he hasn't minced his words in any way about problems or players' performances in the past. He's withdrawn players before half time in the past. So he's a guy of substance, we were led to believe, and he would act on what he thought at the time. So that's why this week's been slightly strange, because you're totally right. He could have said, you know, things so much different within it. It's not a crime to say that your team didn't play well at a crucial time of the season. However, we'll address it and we'll sort it for the next game.
And we'll
game.
Be better and we'll learn from this and we'll move on.
And the fans would agree with that, and the fans would go, okay, that's fine. Also, the thing about press and fans only see the results sometimes, it's crazy. When you've got six games to go in a title race, it's everything's about the result. It's not about how you play. Worry about that in pre-season, how you're going to piece things together and play a different style of play and how the patterns of play. Never mind that just now with six games to go. It's only about the result, and that's where he's been misguided last night.
Because I'm going to play something else, right, which makes Philippe Clement's comments even more interesting. Let's hear from Dujon Sterling, because he says Rangers are playing like they don't even know they're in a title race. He doesn't think the squad have got belief at the moment, and he's been speaking pretty strongly about what he thinks of the recent form.
Difficult to say any words, really. It's not good enough. We've got a lot of work to do. We need to reset. We need to get our heads in the game, to be honest. Switch our mentality, because right now it's not going in the right direction, and there's still a lot of games to be played, and there's still things to fight for. So, yeah, it's just disappointing, but I don't really know what to say. It's got to be ruthless, really. Like, we're fighting for a title, and the way we're playing, it's like we're not playing for nothing. It's like the season's dead. It's like a dead rubber game. But I don't know, somehow it's got to switch. I don't have the words to do it or know how to do it myself personally. It's a team thing. It's not just one person. It's not just the gaffer. It's everyone. So you just got to get back to having that belief that we can. I think back then we had the togetherness, we had the belief. We still have the togetherness, but I don't know if the belief's there at the minute. And I think everyone's got to switch their mind to have that belief that we can actually do this. We all ourselves are a performance as well, because we've been the past three games, and we need to reset and do it for the fans as well, because they've come home and away everywhere, backing us, singing for 90 minutes, 95 minutes, 100 minutes, and we owe it to them.
Those are minutes apart, Gordon, and I think that's where I totally get it. Everybody's been saying it on social media all day. Scott's phoned in. Philippe Clement doesn't want to throw his players under the bus. He doesn't want to slaughter them, which is fine, and I think that's a very wise way to go about it. But within minutes, one of the players is calling the performance beep. He says he doesn't think there's any belief. He says they're in a title fight and it doesn't even look like it. So you've got this massive contradiction and reaction there. So even if Philippe Clement is doing it with the best of intentions, it's so, so different from what Dujon Sterling feels about it.
If I'm involved with Rangers, I'm liking Sterling's way of thinking. I think it's the right way to come out. You touched on it, Gordon, about how, as a manager, you don't need to throw your players under the bus, but you don't need to come out and say, look, from Sunday I got a good reaction. I got a group of players in there that done everything to go and win the game. Supporters aren't stupid. They've followed Rangers and teams like that for years and years, and they're very intelligent people that can usually tell when you're given everything. There's a bit unlucky today. We miss chance after chance. We played some good football. We looked sharp. We'll take it into Sunday's game. But I like the way Sterling came out there and owned it. You know what I mean? He's basically, he's new at the club. He's not been there that long. He's been played in every position. I think the boy gives everything he possibly can. Never moans about it. He goes out there. He's played right back. He's played midfield. He's played wide in the right. He's played left back. And I like his attitude. And if, for me, if Rangers are going to win this league, I think more of the players need to be like him.
Let's thank Scott for his thoughts and bring in Graham. How are you feeling, Graham?
Good evening, gents. Nice to speak to you again.
And you?
I'm going to be like none other call tonight.
Go for
it. The title race is still on. Absolutely still on. My point that I would make is that these players, they have to win every game to win the league, and then they'll be champions. If that's what they want to do, if that's what they've got the ability to do, that's as clear as day. If they want to be champions, and they are champions, they need to get out and win from now on.
But that's the problem now, Scott, Graham. That's the problem now, isn't it? That last night, that took that away. If you win every game, you don't necessarily win the league.
Yeah, but what I did say, I don't know if you remember, Gordon, I phoned in after the Old Firm game, and you guys all agreed with me, because the main comment was the next Old Firm game and how that's going to impact it.
Yep.
And I said, I'm more worried about the games in between than I'm worried about the Old Firm game. And you all agreed.
Oh, you were right about that, yeah.
And I was right about that. But we haven't looked at what's happening on the other side of the city as well before the Old Firm game as well. They've got to play Hearts before the Old Firm game. Let's assume that we beat St Mirren, which at home you never know. But assuming that we get a turnout of these players, that changes it all again before the Old Firm game. So everybody's just jumping on it. I know it's been bad. I know all these things that everybody's talking about. But listen, there's a lot still to happen.
No, listen, I don't grudge your positivity. I think that's totally understandable. And look, it is only 3 points. So in that regard, Graham's well entitled to what he's saying. But the last two results have changed this. The arithmetic tells you winning every game between now and the end of the season might not be enough for Rangers to win the title.
It's not the last two. They've picked up 5 points out of 15. You know what I mean? I think every Rangers fan on this planet were looking at these fixtures coming up and thinking, by Thursday, people will be phoning in this show, and like Graham, and I'm delighted Graham's confident, quite right. His team is still in this title race. For me, it's got to be a big ask, because they've got to go and do something they've not done in a long, long while. They've got to go to Celtic Park and win. They're 5 goals behind. That can be easily caught up. Of course it can. But if you look at Rangers and Celtic just now, if you're going to say with 5 games left, who's going to score the most goals, I would probably go with Celtic, because of the way, because Rangers are changing constantly. Dessers goes for being looking, oh, he's going to really kick on here, till Rangers fans are giving him the hard time again. Then Roof comes on. I know he's had injuries. I think Roof's a decent finisher. Seema's just back from injury. So it's going to be a big, big ask. And that's why I said we cannot sit here and define these guys as losers, because they don't know how... Mm-hmm. Because they still can go and win a treble. I'm not saying for 1 minute that they will, but... It's a possibility. They can go and get in the final at the weekend. They can beat Hearts. I think you would still fancy Rangers as favourites to beat Hearts at Hampden. Although I think that if you're Hearts, you'll fancy your chances all day long. And then it's up to yourself in the cup final.
It's the chipping away of it though, isn't it, Mark? Yeah. Before the weekend, it was, there was a certain scenario in place. Rangers... And again, I don't like making assumptions, because it does disrespect the other teams in the league who can take points off them. But the broad assumption was that Rangers might even be able to go, just might even get away with a draw at Celtic Park, and that could be enough to win the league. Then that got taken away at the weekend, and it's like, well, it's still possible. Win all the games, but we're now at the stage that even winning all the games might not be enough. So that's chipping away. 3 games in a row that's been chipped away at, and Graham might be right. Rangers may well come out, blitz everything between now and the end of the season and win the league, but you can understand why that confidence has been eroded for some
really
people.
It's really been a disastrous, 11 days or something? Go back to the Celtic game. The lead up to that, Rangers beat Celtic, then they've got this game in hand against Dundee, and then they're playing Ross County. They could be far out ahead. We had calls, Rangers could be 5 points clear after this Dundee game. So for it to be reversed, the optimism to be drained, of course you can understand where some of the Rangers fans are. However, I'm with Graham on the phone. His title race is still on. 3 points with 5 games to go. is nothing. Yeah,
we've seen it in the past.
And well, again, I said at the weekend that I believe both will drop points between now and the end of the season. I include Celtic in that. It's just who does it the least.
Okay, thank you to Graham. Keep your calls coming. Are you as optimistic and positive as Graham, or are you feeling a bit more down about things? You tell us, whilst I tell you about this.
Clyde One Live, celebrating the first 50 years.
Right, you could spend the break wisely. Go to ClydeOne.com. Make sure you secure your place at Clyde One Live. Get the date in your diary. It's Friday the 31st of May, and as part of our 50th birthday celebrations, we're taking over the Ovo Hydro. Amy McDonald, Tom Walker, Callum Beattie, Emily Sandy, Texas, and Gordon DL and Mark Wilson might even be there as well. ClydeOne.com for your tickets.
141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. These phone lines are red hot. I mean, I do say that every night, but it's because I really mean it in the last couple of weeks. It's not to say that I sometimes don't mean it, but I've just noticed this title race has got everybody really, really going. So let's bring in Sammy, who's in East Kilbride. Who was to blame for last night, Sammy? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Listen, there's hundreds of them to blame. It was absolute garbage. And I would put, James, I know you've been defending him, but that Tavernier, I would put him right at the top, because he's a serial loser. And he said himself in a matchday programme not that long ago that when it comes to this time of the season, they get scared. They don't have the mentality to finish a season properly. They're quite happy at the start of the season, hitting teams for 3 and 4, and when it comes to this time of the season, when the pressure's on, they bottle it, and they've done it again. I'm disgusted, absolutely disgusted, not only by the results, but by the performance. The last 2 or 3 weeks, they've been garbage. And Clement hasn't done himself any favours. He's picking the same people that have lost us the league 3 or 4 years in a row. Serial losers. That's what they are. I'm disgusted. We had a team that we could be proud of in the 90s, the early 2000s, even in the lower leagues. You had players that actually fought for the jersey. And who have we got now? Bottle merchants. Disgusted.
So you think, you know, you say serial losers, bottle merchants. Is it all about mentality then? Or is there just this harsh realisation that that team isn't good enough to keep winning leagues over your rivals? Is that maybe a more obvious solution to the other than it being a mentality problem? Because if it was just about bottle, you would be really you'd be saying that I think Rangers are the best team, I think they're the best footballing team, but they don't have the mentality to get it over the line. It must be a bit more than just being bottle merchants and serial losers. Maybe they're just not as good.
We had the upper hand. We had the upper hand for the first time in a long time. We looked like we could win the title. And what happened? It wasn't because Celtic were better than us. It was because we let it slip. Because when the pressure was on, the same players, Tavernier, Goldson, Lundstrom, Roof, who still masquerades as a striker, though he spends half his time on the physio's bench, they're serial losers. They don't know how to push on and win a league. It's disgusting. In the 90s, in the early 2000s, when we had proper players, even if you lost a league title, you had players you knew could get you over the line in hard games. You tell me now, the starting 11 from Ross County and from Dundee, how many of them would win you a game? Because there was a combined 22 of them, 11 in each game, and none of them could win the game for us.
Luke McCowan and Simon Murray did all right, to be fair, but before we go down that route, Mark, I think what I'm trying to... You can sense just how angry Sammy is, and that's an understatement. But the question about it sort of all coming down to bottle, and Sammy's response to it was fair, but we got ourselves in a position, we looked like we could win the league. Is it maybe the case though that Philippe Clement squeezed more out of this group than really they were able to sustain? So he first came in, they punched above their weight for a bit, that gave everybody hope, and now actually you're seeing the second best team in the country sitting second best in the table. Is that not... I know it's a boring analysis
of
it.
In previous weeks, you'd have to think that. And I'm even taking into consideration the Celtic game. Because even the second half, they didn't really play their way through Celtic, but it was that grit and determination that got them back in it. So possibly that's an argument. But look, this five games might tell us different.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Five games, Sammy might be back on and saying, look, I was wrong about that because they got the job done in the end. But look, I'm with Sammy for the minute because we can only go with what's happened this past 10 or 11 days from Celtic to Ross County to Dundee. And it does look like when the pressure's on the shoulders, players don't respond in the same way as they have done when they were going through that purple patch under Clement. So we're judging them on that at the minute. Now it's up to them to prove to their own fans and their manager that they can turn that round within five games.
It just shows you though, Gordon, you knew at the time, I think we said it at the time, that James Tavernier would never shake off that programme note.
No.
Issue. Maybe, you know, his mistake to say it, whoever published it, whatever, wherever the blame goes. Because Sammy says, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. It was over 4 years ago. Mm. But every time a bad result comes up and you can understand it, that's hard to shake off.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not surprised that we're getting calls tonight for Rangers supporters are highly disappointed, because when Clement came in, he brought them from probably nobody fancied them to be in a title race, because Celtic were looking like they were just going to go away and it would have been an easy title victory for them. But Clement got something out of those players. Now, I know it's very difficult, and I keep going back to it, because I said at the beginning of the season I fancied Celtic to win the league, and I'm sticking by that. But Rangers, they've already got a trophy in the cabinet. They're in a semi-final on Sunday, and they're 3 points off Celtic in the league just now. I think when Clement came into the building, as much as you're disappointed in the last couple of games, I think you'd accepted that.
Gordon makes some fair points, Sammy, but I'm sensing you don't have any faith left in this team that they can get the rest over the line.
No, and I'll tell you, was it Mark Wilson there that was talking about the Celtic game? Mm-hmm. We were garbage when the pressure was on in the first half, and we were 2-0 down, and we were lucky to be 2-0 down. And what happened when the pressure was off, and we all thought we were getting beat anyway, the pressure was off and we scored 3 goals. Because the pressure was off. But when the pressure is on and there's something to fight for, they turn in on themselves. Look at the football in the last 2 games. Now, you can say the Ross County game was a blip, but the quality of football has been garbage. And Philip Clement has got a little bit to do with that, because he's still playing with Michael Beale's rejects. And he's still playing with a team of serial losers. And maybe in the summer, if he stays that long, we'll get a better team out of him.
I do agree with you in that. I think the standard of football in the last few games has been below par. There's been no sharpness. To me, I look at the team and I don't know what the pattern is, what they're trying to play. If you look at Celtic, that 4-3-3, you know how they're going to play against you. But you look at Rangers, it's laboured football in the last couple of games. And if they've got any chance of putting Celtic under pressure and winning these games, they need to up their game a bit for me.
No chance Rangers win this title, Sammy?
Well, I'll tell you, as I keep saying about the pressure, maybe now everyone's written us off, we might actually start playing football.
I mean, that would still be handling pressure, though. I mean, I get what Sammy says, Mark. If you go to the Old Firm game, is the pressure off when you're 2-0 down in that fixture? I don't know if we could ever go that far.
Pressure's not totally off, but I get a glimpse of what Sammy's saying there.
It comes like a free
slightly
hit
off. It's a free
game.
Hit. You need to put, you know, just go caution to the wind, which Rangers did.
I think I'd feel pretty under pressure if I was 2-0 down in that.
But your reaction at half time, you're not going to get worse than that. So you can go out with a wee bit of freedom.
Bit of psychological spin, I don't think
Celtic for one second are sitting there and going, well, that's us. The title race is done, and Rangers are going to come and, you know, play freely. The pressure's still firmly on both sets of players.
Well, I'll tell you what, some strong, strong words. What an assessment that was from Sammy. I think we'll have to pause for breath. Sammy said that there were rejects involved. I've got two rejects for you in Beat the Pundit. Let's do it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The Clyde Bank rejects. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here to play Beat the Pundit, and your call needs to be in before 7 o'clock. 01419511025.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Let me share with you a very nervy 10 seconds that I just had when I realised that Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel's mics were live for about the last 15 seconds, 10 seconds of that break. I could just see the lights were on.
Oh, no.
My heart rate picked up. I thought, this could be it. This could be the end of this proud.
Oh, you just finished telling me that story as well, didn't you?
What
about your stag do?
What one?
Aye, which stag do?
Honestly. My palms are sweating.
Why did you not give us
any see?
But that was the thing. It was like, it was too late. I had to just almost like grin and accept whatever fate was going to come
of
our way.
All the things we talk about off air.
Anyway,
we were talking about darts.
Yeah.
Were we?
Yeah, we were. No surprise to tell you that it is all about last night's game at Dens Park. There have been developments. Dundee have been fined by the SPFL. That situation is going to rumble on. What do you make of that? Get your calls over to us. And lots more to be said. The previous caller just before the news, he was not happy. What was he calling his own team? Serial losers.
Yeah.
Bottle merchants.
Bottle merchants.
Disgusting, I think was a word used. It's been quite a passionate evening. So keep the calls coming and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. You've played the last three Thursdays. Your man here has been sitting back.
How good was it on Tuesday? Did you hear him?
I did hear him because I texted him on Tuesday.
Yeah, he outed you, remember? Because you cheated.
Sure you did.
I just got in the car after training, just in time for Beat the Pundit.
I was so chuffed.
And I thought, he's just lied right away.
I failed to notice.
See you, but I could picture your face.
I failed to notice that we had used that tiebreaker before and you tried to pass it off as if you just knew the answer.
but I had
and
to,
he outed you straight away.
I had to go a little bit more, right, just to deflect away because I knew the caller wasn't getting anywhere near it. Kenny Miller, you should have seen
I
him.
I heard him
looked.
Laughing.
Oh, he was going, absolute no chance.
But you know what I was thinking of then? I was thinking about how chuffed he would have been inside, like Kenny laughing at him and thinking, you wouldn't have clocked it, and he was going to get close.
So you had to just
and
out
I
him.
Thought, no way he's getting away with it. Not a chance.
Well done.
I still won.
I'm glad you're here to police things, Mark Wilson. Andy's on from Postle. How's it going, Andy?
Aye, brand new, aye.
First time playing?
It is, aye. Well, live anyway.
Good stuff. Do you want to take on Gordon Dalziel? Is he the perceived
no, you don't want to take me on, Andy. Two?
Aye, I mean, if they want to tag team me, that's fine.
Ooh,
well, what?
Not done that for a while, have you?
Anyway, I think we'll go one on one for now. Before we get too adventurous,
he's got a big donut written all over him.
We'll go one on one. Let's see, heads. It will be so. It's been tails the last three Thursdays. You're on to something with me. With the coin.
It's tails on a Tuesday as well.
Heads.
Does it matter?
Heads. It's Mark.
When DL's sitting here, it's tails.
Tails. It's DL. What does that say, Gordon Dalziel?
Heads!
Do you like that?
I would have taken that because I fancied doing him tonight.
Mark against Andy. So let's
Good
give
luck,
Mark
Andy.
Some greatest hits radio to listen to. Andy, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Right, sorted.
Right, your 30 seconds starts now. How many of Rangers' last eight games have they won?
Two.
Who was the last player to join Celtic from Dundee United?
Mark Wilson.
In what decade did Dundee last play in European competition?
The 90s.
Who lasted longer in charge, Liz Truss as Prime Minister or Neil Warnock at Aberdeen?
Liz Truss.
Name any Scotland international playing for Norwich at the moment.
Grant Hanley.
Which German city hosts the Euro final?
Berlin.
Which Scottish Championship side have lost their last five league games?
Raith Rovers.
Okay, let's bring back Mark Wilson. Yeah. Can you hear us, Mark?
Yeah.
What are you bumping your gums at?
They're the easiest questions I've ever heard.
Oh, are they?
By the way, Andy in Postal, he's already hung up. He's away.
Andy did all right.
He's away at the chippy. He's no chance.
He's trying to get inside your head, Mark.
Yeah, he keeps hitting me. He hits me every question. Like,
okay. No, why does he touch him so much?
He keeps touching me.
But the big thing for you is you need to go off to a good start.
I do.
And I know the answer to the first question.
Speaking of touching, you two are going to be at closer quarters than I could ever have imagined. I'm going to reveal more before the end of the show. But anyway, 30 seconds, Mark, shall we?
Yes, go for it.
Your time starts now. How many of Rangers' last eight have they won?
Two.
Who was the last player to join Celtic from Dundee United?
Oh, Gary McKay-Stevens.
In what decade did Dundee last play in European competition?
The 60s.
Who lasted longer in charge, Liz Truss as Prime Minister or Neil Warnock at Aberdeen?
Neil Warnock.
Name any Scotland international who plays for Norwich.
Grant Hanley.
Which German city will host the Euro final
Munich.
Okay.
See if Andy beats you.
Andy, Gordon Dale's got you written off. I think you did all right.
Honestly, it's much harder than the radio.
Did you ball it, Andy?
Oh, listen, I couldn't even tell you Emirates transferred apart from Mark Wilson.
Secret, didn't it?
Let's find out. It was an interesting game. The last eight games, Rangers have won twice. You both got it. Both
done,
against
Andy.
The one both against Hibs, draws with Dundee, Celtic and Benfica, losses to Motherwell, Benfica and Ross County. The last player to join Celtic from Dundee United was Sigrist. None of you got it. That was a new low for you, shouting out the correct answer whilst Beat the Pundit was still ongoing.
Well, I'm trying to help Andy out.
I think he's trying to put you off. I think it worked. In what decade did Dundee last play in European competition? None of you got it right. Andy was closer. It was the 2000s.
Was that really? 2003.
There you go.
Oh, they got to the cup final, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's right, so they did.
So, still 1-1. Who lasted longer in charge? Liz Truss as Prime Minister, 50 days, or Neil Warnock at Aberdeen, 34 days?
Oh, it was Truss.
It was Liz Truss, and Andy got it.
Oh, no, mate.
Andy, what you didn't know is Andy's actually the political correspondent for Possum. And he knew that. So he is one in front.
He's just come out the
easy jimmy. Days. He says
easy days.
Grant Hanley, Kenny McLean or Angus Gunn, you both got it. Andy stays one in front.
Can't get beat by Andy.
Which German city will host the Euro final? It's Berlin. Andy got it. You said Munich.
Oh, I said Munich. Why didn't I have it in Munich?
Andy even had time to sort of show off a victory cigar because he didn't even get the last one. He didn't need it. The championship side who've lost their last five is our broth. Andy, you didn't even need it. You are the winner, Andy, and I'm delighted, especially to shut up that smug DL who wrote you off.
I know. See, I couldn't name you many championship sides, so I was just going to say Rangers for the patter, but I didn't even need it.
it wouldn't have been your best joke, Andy. I must have
my point for that.
I tell you what, Andy, let's all have a night out if you've got patter like that, mate.
I wouldn't want to go night out with you.
We'll meet you doing Porsche with your ball.
Andy.
Oh, I'm getting a ball, that's right.
Don't you listen to him.
Andy thought he was only got a mug.
He's very confident for somebody who sat there and you would have beat him as well.
No, you wouldn't. Yeah, hey, two Sigrist and 20.
I've just read the answers out though.
I shouted them out.
Nah, anyway, Andy, well
I've
done.
Seen them in the
sign ball is on its way to you, Andy. Well done.
Right, brilliant. Thank you.
Well done, Andy.
You got to blow up,
did you,
Andy.
Did you see those answers in the office earlier?
Aye.
Oh, you're shit.
No, I did not. How can I see them?
Aye, that was a doing there for Andy. Putting away.
Hammered.
So the final's not
Berlin.
Even in Munich, is it?
The
Berlin,
final's
is
in
it?
Berlin. Yeah. However, I've received news today. Yeah. I think this is confirmation. Speaking of you two, you know, touching each other and getting close.
Be so rooming.
You two you're actually going to the Euros.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going.
Oh, what experience.
And you are sharing a room.
Do you know I've got my kilt ordered?
12 days and nights.
We can't be sharing room. I can't share a room with a 65 year old.
Genuinely, like, thing is,
do you want top bunk?
I don't want anywhere near you in the room.
Well, there is no joke attached here. I promise.
I'll share with you.
No, that bit's entirely true. You two are sharing a room for 12 days.
No, I can't share. 2 hours with him is enough in this studio.
12 nights.
12 nights.
We might see the ghost. I'll lie in your son.
Listen, I think that's the least of his worries.
What I'll be seeing.
He would rather see the ghost than some of the things that he's worried about.
You could write a book. Take a diary.
No. See, I was funny when I was sharing room with teammates. You ever go into those hotel rooms where the beds are so close together? It's almost a double bed.
I think it might be a double. Because the budget didn't stretch that. I genuinely think you two are in a double for 12 days.
Do you want window or door? That's all I'm interested in.
What side do you sleep in normally?
I'm the right side.
So if you're standing looking at the bed... No, forget that, because every room's different. You're on the left.
Yeah,
I'm a lefter.
Oh no, you two are going to go top and tail.
We're cuddling. We're spooning.
Who's the big spoon?
It's size of him.
What do you mean, obviously him? Have you just accepted your position?
Well, that's position
of
me.
Yeah. I'll have him make my coffee in the morning and everything.
Again, I think that's the least of his worries.
Oh yeah, you're going to have the best experience. Bring your kilt and all that. I've got my kilt. The Gordon Tartan.
I just think of him you know, in his recliner and all the bad habits he's formed over these years. What were you sitting there?
The bagpipe. Midland.
For anyone who's watching the live stream, I actually think that's exactly what he's worried that you're going to be doing in the in your 12
minutes. If I hear rustling in the middle of the night,
the preview.
And,
the
stop
game.
It.
The
game. Stop it. Stop it.
He's lost the plot. I should have known, to be fair. It is my fault.
That German TV is going to come in handy for
it
you.
It really is. But genuinely, how do you feel about that? Because I'm serious. Listen, 12 nights, you two.
Absolutely delighted to be going. It'll be an unbelievable experience. David didn't tell me that on the phone that we were going to be. So I'm thinking we're going to be bunking.
I'm thinking a GoPro in the corner of the room. It could be like Big Brother.
Well, you'd have to edit everything with him a bit, wouldn't you, for
we'll
that?
We'll bring the wee game. What do you call that?
You're not a gamer.
You get up at 4 a.m.
Yeah,
Dana.
I'm up early. Don't you worry, I'll get you up at your bed.
That's going to be brilliant.
You get up about 4 or 5, don't you?
I'm usually up about back of 5, yeah.
That's going to be good.
Kettle on a couple of wee sing songs in the morning.
It's like the dog when he wants it in the morning.
He's going to be
wagging his tail at the door.
It'd be funny, like genuinely, if you were to compile a list of everybody you know on this earth.
To share a room with? He would be well done the list.
I've got to warn, I have had some experiences.
Oh, what? We can believe it.
Oh, sharing rooms. Oh, mate, honestly.
Well, your story about the ghost the other week.
The ghost is, wait till you actually live it in real life.
The night before the cup final. That's another good story.
Did you not tell me that when you used to share a flat with Jock McStay, they used to set up the ironing board and do high jump over the ironing board? It was the living room Olympics.
We'll do a lot of good games.
Is it too late to pull out? I think it is.
Anyway, we'll leave it there before we get in trouble. 01419511025. Wish as well as we take Clyde One Super Scoreboard across the continent. Right, back to more serious game faces on. Last night was a very serious night, in case you hadn't noticed. Stephen is in East Kilbride. Stephen, the last caller before the news was disgusted. He was raging. How would you sum up how you feel about your team at the moment?
Gutted. Probably more than anything. It's the hope that kills you. And that, you know, 5 months ago, 6 months ago, when the manager came in, you know, we probably didn't have any belief. We probably didn't have any hope, any expectations. And then when you get close and then you get into pole position, and that, like many other Rangers fans, we probably expected to roll up to Ross County and Dundee and take 6 points. And seeing the outcome is very disappointing. But if you look back over the games, a lot of folk have talked about the last three, but even going back to, we're very lucky at Rugby Park, I think, coming back from one down. And then, you know, we didn't perform particularly well against Hibs in the Scottish Cup at Easter Road. So it's been, you know, average performances have been there. It's just disappointing when it's come. But I mean, my point was more about, you know, is Clement absolved of any blame? You know, in the formation and the lack of, I know we talk about plan Bs, you know, there was no change in the setup. And at one point last night in the telly, Kenny Miller said that the front five weren't moving. You know, and the front five probably didn't have any space to move into, given the fact that there was five of our players up there and probably about seven of theirs. And I'd just like to kind of put that to Gordon and Mark.
Is Clement free of blame?
No, I don't think he is. But I think it'd be very hard just now to point the finger. I think since he's come in, I said it up until Sunday and Wednesday's interviews, I think he's been absolutely terrific. I really do, for the club and everybody concerned. I think he's just a little bit of nerves maybe, and he's come out and said one or two things that probably he looks back and think, well, maybe should have just kept that under wrapped and kept it for the dressing room. But he sets out the targets, the tactics, sorry, he picks the teams, he makes the substitutions. Look, he's not playing with a full deck of cards in the sense that that's not his team. I think you've got to wait to the summer, but they're still in a very important part of the season where they can still win silverware. So he's got to keep them on side. He's got to get the best out of them as he possibly can. I totally agree. Right now, I can't see the part in the play of what Rangers do. I don't know how they do it. I watched Goldson, for instance, last night, especially second half, hitting long ball after long ball after long ball. Rangers haven't got the players up front that can deal with that. Cantwell, I think, is a very talented player, but he sometimes plays individually and just runs about and doesn't hold the shape for the team. I think Tom Lawrence offered nothing last night. Lundstrom's went off it. So I think he's got to get a bit of spark back into it. At Ross County, I think where they were disappointed was, I didn't think they fought the battle, right? And sometimes when you're Rangers or you're Celtic and you go to these grounds, remember, Ross County are fighting for their Premiership lives. You know you're going to get a difficult game against them in the sense that they will close you down, they will run for everything, they will try and put you under pressure. Sometimes, as much as you're a better team, better players, roll your sleeves up, win your battles like the old days, then your ability will shine through. That's what good teams are all about. Rangers, for me, there's no sharpness. Sunday, and certainly last night, there was a little bit of improvement because I lost a goal very early on. Okay, Seema had a couple of good chances, but apart from that, I didn't see any sharpness in Rangers last night.
That's where he can't escape criticism, because it's not all one way. When Clement came in, he had such a reaction from his team. Great results, good European run, cup in the trophy cabinet, and he's taken all the plaudits, and rightly so, I've got to add, because he transformed what Michael Beale left behind. But when it comes to this stage and the team isn't playing well, aren't getting results, and like Daz said, there isn't a spark, there's a lack of intensity, then you've got to take the flak that comes your way. Because I said at the start of the show, the buck does stop with the manager. Even though you can point the finger at certain individuals being off colour, off form, whatever you want to call it, the manager has the power to change things and create that energy within the dressing room for players to go into the pitch with a different attitude, with a high tempo. And Rangers haven't had it in 3 weeks now, at least. And Colin's right, Stephen's right, going back to Kelly as well. You know, was it there for large parts of that game? So as much credit as he's taken, and he deserves all that credit, he's got to take the flak as well.
So does this ultimately end, Stephen, in... So say if Rangers can't pull this back, they don't win the league, it's still, you know, faith in Philippe Clement, because he needs time to get even more of his own players in. He managed to get some. Diamandé was looking good initially. He's injured. Cortez, very briefly, but again, feels like Rangers fans were happy with what they saw injured. Are you giving him a bit more time and just taking whatever comes at the end of this season?
Oh, I mean, you know, I'm not calling for his head. I'm just looking at, on the tight, smaller pitches, you know, this. I think we play like a 4-2-3-1. And I would say that, you know, everybody's been talking about defence, but, you know, to me, it's the six in front of them that haven't necessarily been doing their job. You know, you're seeing guys that are not wingers playing in the wing positions, and their first instinct's to cut inside. Mark was talking about Todd Cantwell, I think it was, and a couple of occasions last night, Todd Cantwell, you know, with his back to goal, is getting tackled and losing possession, and then all of a sudden we've got that many players up the park that the defence is exposed. Goldson does look like he's running in treacle right now, which is worrying, considering he's probably been our dominant centre-half for the last 3 or 4 years. But, I mean, we could end up putting in a good performance on Sunday against Hearts on a bigger pitch against a team that's more inclined to have a go and not sit back, you know, but only time will tell. But, I mean, the previous caller, you know, he's talking about bottle jobs. I mean, what happened in 1998, you know, when we drew at home, we lost at home to Killie, you know, in the second last game of the season, and he's talking about players like Richard Goff and Ali McCoist and Ian Durant and what have you. You know, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the 80s and the 90s, you know, when Rangers were the dominant team, but, you know, Rangers get put under a bit of pressure in season 97, 98 when we're going for 10 in a row. And, you know, he talks about character. You know, there's plenty of characters in the dressing room there, and we blew it, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we always look for that, you know, that one reason, that silver bullet. It's just that they don't have the bottle. That, you know, that's it. But it's always going to be a combination of factors, whether that leads to success or failure. It's going to be a number of things.
Yeah, I don't think you can just label it down to bottle, Gordon. As I say, they've already won a trophy. They're still in the title race. Would you fancy Celtic? Probably.
I think it'd be easier to, if you could label it bottle, see if everybody was in agreement and said, by the way, Rangers are definitely the best team. On their day, they are definitely the best team in this country. Look at what they're capable of. If they then didn't win the league, then you can maybe say maybe it's down to Bottle, but you're going to have to take, like, you know, the ability
and
into
also,
account at
see,
some point.
See, if you look across the city, I think this year, and I think Celtic fans will admit as well, Celtic haven't been at their best, but the pluses for Celtic just now is they're starting to get their big hitters back and they're starting to look sharp. Rangers have got to rise to that challenge for me.
Some fair points well made, Stephen. We will take a breather and more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are here. 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. You've had some poetry in right on cue.
Oh, surprise,
from our
surprise
resident, the Curious Creatures, who is reacting to the news that you two are sharing not only a room but a bed for 12 days at the Euros.
Oh, shit.
This summer. I've got
cold feet, by the way, in the middle of the night, just in case they touch you.
Rub them on.
I'm serious. He says, the dazzler at the Euros, double bed for his wee mate. The fear is real for Wilson. Could this work trip seal his fate? Dazzler always asks the questions when he checks in for his stay. Can I get the Wi-Fi password and does the cleaner come each day?
Well, he's not far off the mark.
He does know you. That's good. Oh. You're travel habits.
Because he sent one in last week that I couldn't read out. Remember that?
Ridiculous.
Nah, that was a good one.
That was.
Why did he never use
risky
Wilson instead of me?
Because you're easier, quite frankly. Let's give you this question before we go any further.
The full time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Right, as we often do, I want to do this snappy, don't dwell on it. Want to take some more calls very soon. Who are the 9 Scotland internationals who've played for an MLS club and been capped at least 10 times? So who
Johnny
are the
Russell.
See if you would just let me finish and read the question again. Who are the 9 Scotland internationals who've played for an MLS club and been capped at least 10 times?
Johnny Russell.
Yes, Kansas City and 14 caps. Mark.
Stephen Caldwell.
Yes, leave it there. Toronto and 12 caps. I want to go back to the phones because Tommy is on the line. Tommy, now you're a Celtic fan. We've had lots of Rangers fans reacting to last night. I wonder how the title race looks from your side of the city.
Well, how you doing, gents?
Good, thanks.
Right. I don't think it's over.
No.
I think Celtic in a very, very good position. I don't think it's over. We've got to go to Kilmarnock. We've got Hearts at Celtic Park. I've got to go to Dundee. St Mirren, we play St Mirren on Saturday there, hard first half. We expect, when I go to the games, I don't expect Celtic to just turn up one. They've got to work hard to get it. But it seems to be the other ones seem to think they can just go to Dundee, go to Ross County and win. But I've got the opinion the league's not over. We're in a very, very strong position. But we've had a lot of injuries this season. And we're now in a good position. But as far as I'm concerned, it's not over.
And Mark, how could you really argue with it? I don't think there's a league in the world that you would declare over with a 3-point gap with 5 games to go.
Yeah.
And history in our league tells you that it's certainly not. Obviously, the Rangers fans are feeling a bit sore. They feel it's definitely heading in that direction. The position they're in tonight is way worse than the position they were in just over a week ago. So they feel it's maybe heading in a direction that they think it's unlikely that they pull things back. But like I say, 3 points with 5 games to go, how could that be over?
Well, exactly. And how could you argue that, you know, it's going to come down to, or not see the point, that it's going to come down to Celtic v Rangers, Rangers v Celtic, because it's there in black and white. We've seen it all season. Celtic losing games, Rangers losing games to the other teams. We've seen it for years. I've lived it. I've been there.
What was your biggest sort of swing?
The biggest one, well, I've said before, we went to Inverness 2010. We were in a great position. We hadn't long been to Ibrox and we should have won there, but it was a 0-0 draw. I'm pretty sure that was a year 0-0 draw. So it was in our hands. We go to Inverness on a Tuesday or Wednesday night and we lose the game much in the same manner Rangers
did. Is that the one Chris Commons blamed on you?
That was the one. He started name checking all the back four, which was good of him.
Quite
just
right.
In case the manager didn't have an idea who was playing that night. But so, you know, we've seen it before. So to think that it can't happen again within these five games is ludicrous. I think there are still points to be dropped. And I'm not saying Celtic will lose within that period, but I can see a draw within there. If you look at the pattern with Celtic this year, they've been good in patches. However, there's always been a game that snuck up and performance has been poor and it's cost them.
I think, Gordon, what's interesting about the fixture list, because the post-split fixtures, as we said, came out this week. Mark's right, you don't know when and where the shock or the upset's going to come. But Tommy referenced the Kilmarnock away, and he referenced St Mirren. Those both come after Rangers.
Yeah.
So that's why it's now not just down to that game. It can't be, because we've seen the deficit. But if both stay as they are until that game, and then Celtic win that before they need to play Kilmarnock, that could have a huge... So it's still, in a very clumsy way, what I'm trying to say is, it might not all be down to that game, but that game's now going to have such a significance.
Yeah, and the reason that Tommy's saying, and he's quite right to say, Celtic are in a good place, because forget Kilmarnock, forget St Mirren, Celtic need to win three games. They win their next three games for me. I know they've got five in the split, but they win their next three games, that'll be enough to see them over a line for me. Because obviously the big one would be at Celtic Park against Rangers. They don't need then to go to this Kilmarnock and win where everybody expects them. That's where they're going to drop points because of their displays and the way Kilmarnock's played against them. I was at that game. Kilmarnock thoroughly deserved that win at Rugby Park. Celtic were very poor. But if Celtic win their next three games out of the five, then you would imagine Celtic will be champions. It's as simple as that. So that Kilmarnock and that St Mirren game at the end might not even come into play.
Tommy, what about from purely your own team's perspective then? Are they still not giving you as much confidence as you would like? Are they heading in that way after the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think with the injuries now over, the players coming back, I think you can see the team getting better, the confidence is getting better. I've noticed the recent games, crossing the balls, we're getting goals for cross balls, with two on Saturday, for Alistair Johnson, two cross balls. Well, two passes, he created two of the goals. That wasn't happening before, because as you know, Alistair Johnson was out. We're crossing the ball, we're getting better. Hatate's back. Carter Vickers is fit. McGregor's fit. Getting fit, sorry. So we're in a very, very good position. But I just don't understand how people can just say, that's it, it's over. Whether it's temper or expectation, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's over. But I think Celtic are strong favourites.
It's incredible, Mark, because we've got to 25-8 on Thursday night, and the small matter of the Scottish Cup semi-finals have not had a look in. They can change a lot, even though it's a separate competition. It's all connected. This Rangers Hearts game is now being viewed through the lens of Rangers are imploding in the title race, and maybe they're there to be got at, and all that sort of stuff. And to swing it either way, if Rangers were to go out the cup this weekend, you can just imagine the reaction. Similarly, Celtic fans who might be feeling really good about themselves, but again, if they were to, these are still 90 minute games where in theory anything
can happen,
but we've not even really looked at them yet.
Yeah, and because it's just the next game ahead, Gordon, I know the cup has got a special place in the supporters' hearts, but it's the next game, so no matter what competition it's in, if any team falters, then the pile on begins, and the Celtic fans, the same Celtic fans that were calling in the show 6-7 weeks ago saying that the league was lost and Brendan Rodgers should leave immediately, they'd be back on, and similarly with the Rangers fans. So that's why this weekend is absolutely crucial. If two of them progress, then where does that put them? How are they feeling about going into the remaining games? Of course, they're feeling better about themselves. They've got that showcase final to look forward to against each other. It is an amazing end to the season we've got in our hands here, thinking that there's only 3 points, a Celtic Rangers game to come, and potentially a Scottish Cup final between them.
Thank you to Tommy. What about Tom? Other variations are available. Tom's in Gourock. How are you, Tom?
Ah, good evening, Gordon and Mark.
Tom, how's it going, Tom?
Yeah, very well.
What are you thinking tonight?
Well, I think some of the the so-called Rangers fans want to calm their jets, seriously want to calm their jets, Gordon. I mean, if you'd asked them like 5 months ago after where Man Beale left, when you look at it, if you'd have says, at this point, Gordon, right, 3 points and they in it, there's a bit in your hand off.
Mm-hmm.
You've already had you've got a cup in the trophy room, you're in a semi-final, and who knows, okay, last six games, we're up against it. I don't deny that. However, every chance you could still win it, so the treble's still on.
Yeah.
You know, so, the likes of Sammy, I mean, listening to Sammy, I mean, oh my God, it was, I'm a true Rangers fan, through thick or thin, you know, you're there for your team, support your team. Do you go to work? Does everybody go to work? I mean, no harm to Gordon DL, but, you know, you make food bars every now and again.
A new harm to Gordon DL was going to follow after the no harm.
What were you calling it?
He's just basically saying that people make mistakes. You're proving that. He's likening you to Cyril Dessers, I think, in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
Exactly, Gordon, exactly. God, I mean...
Is it the hope that, Tom, one of your other fellow Rangers fans, though, maybe summed it up, is it the hope that kills you? Because I think you're right. If you were to go all the way back to day one of Philippe Clement, Rangers would have taken this position. But a lot has happened since then, and you do maybe readdress your aims and ambitions once you see how things are going.
Yes, but at the same time, Gordon, I mean, a lot of Rangers supporters, I've listened to a few of them. Yeah, we've all got our qualms and, you know. But you've got to take into consideration, you know, we held it for the Celtic fans, injuries. You know, you've got Dino, Ryan Jack, who wears his heart on his sleeve. Ryan Jack plays his heart out. You know, you've got Diamondi. You know, we've still got quite a few players that are out that would probably be playing. And to look at Clement, you know, he's done a fantastic job. You know, to me, you can say it's a blip, it's a bad blip. However, you know, Celtic's been through the same. They've, a couple of their games, they've scraped through, but just scraped through at times, you know. So you never know. It could be, I'm hoping and open, but, you know, whether we win the league or we don't win the league, I'm not going to stop supporting Rangers. You know, as I say, the treble's still on. We still live in hope. You know, if we go on Sunday, we're up against Hearts. Hearts will give us a game yet, but at the same time, we beat them 5-0 the last time. You know, in the league, okay, but we put them at the cup again the last time. You know, so we begin with a bit of hope. You know, and you know, that's what you've got to believe in, Gordon, you know.
Let's hear from Stephen Naismith on that, Tom. You're talking about that cup game at the weekend, because he was speaking today, looking ahead to it, and he said that, you know, Rangers form will come into his thinking, but he's obviously focused on his team as well.
Like I said, every time we play teams, we look at their form, we look at the style of the play, their injuries, the lot. So it'll have played a part in terms of how we go about what we're going to play like on Sunday. It's just another game on the journey. Yes, it gets you into a final and the next step closer to winning a trophy. Their form isn't where they probably expected or wanted it to be this crucial time of the season, but it's a cup game, so it's a different game. I think it's unexpected. Surprise, I'm not sure. There's some players that have been there over the years and have failed to win trophies. From my experience, it's a tough club, tough environment. The form of Rangers is one thing. Two wins in eight tells you that they're not at the top level they have been in the 20 games before or the 15 games what it was before. The dynamic of that means that players aren't playing with the freedom that they have done in the past, or they're second guessing some decisions, or that intenseness from the crowd comes. That's all going to, it's part of how the game's going to be.
Some interesting lines in there from Stephen Naismith.
Listen, spoken like a man that's been there and lived it and understands the pressure at this time of the season, and just his wee closing bit there, that players maybe second guess in things or not playing with the freedom that they do earlier on in the season. That's all true. Your game changed dramatically as soon as you're put in the environment that these players are in at the minute. So he's the right man probably to be in charge of a team going in against a side who have struggled in the last 10 days to pinpoint that and tell his players what to expect and the amount of pressure that they can apply early on in the game. But Rangers have still got very good players, and if you don't go about it the right way, or you go too gung-ho early on in the game, you could find yourself punished and out the cup as early as the first 45 minutes. So it's going to be an interesting tie. Hearts have certainly got players that can hurt you, but Rangers, you know, are still heavy favourites in my opinion.
Let me speak from experience, Gordon, where Hearts have got a bigger expectation than the likes of Motherwell, but when you're up against the big two, sometimes the worst ones are the ones when you think, ah, they're there to be got at. Mm-hmm. They're there for the taking. And then it sort of blows up in your face. Is that a delicate balance to find?
I think it's got to be really interesting at the weekend, because we've heard caller after caller question character of Rangers players. Bottle merchants have been called. So if they've got any of that bottle and character, I think they'll need to bring it to Hampden on Sunday, because I think if you're Hearts, you would certainly fancy that.
Thank you, Tom. What about this teaser tonight? Quickly, 9 Scotland internationals. They've played for an MLS club and have at least 10 caps. Stephen Caldwell, I thought that would be one of the harder ones,
Chris Boyd.
Johnny Russell, Chris Boyd, Christopher from Ayrshire, as he's known on this show.
I have to say,
did you hear his line on the telly last night?
Yeah.
I did think it was good. Rangers have got 99 problems, but the pitch ain't one. That's wasted on you.
Yeah, okay.
He's not into music, is he?
Never mind.
Barry Robson?
Yep.
Danny Wilson didn't get 10 caps. No.
Did you say Kenny Miller?
Kenny Miller.
Aye, did you say Kenny Miller? Sorry.
You should. Well done. Aye. Quick, one more guess. Let's go.
That's what I've got.
Far back, we're going well back.
Just hurry up.
Give me names. John Spencer.
Yes, John Spencer, 19 caps, Colorado Rapids. 3 to get, we'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a quick show that's been. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here on the usual number. There's still time to squeeze your call in. Let me thank Universal Interiors for their help in East Kilbride. And thanks to Gavin, who's you'll see the link here. He's a Rangers and a Portland Timbers fan. Hence the question. He's from the Highlands, but he now lives in Portland, Oregon, and he wants you to name the 9 Scotland internationals who've played for an MLS club and been capped at least 10 times. Guys like Chris Boyd, Stephen Caldwell, Kenny Miller, Barry Robson, Johnny Russell, John Spencer, 3 to get.
Mo Johnson?
Yes, Kansas City, 38 caps.
Mackay Stephen?
No.
Lewis Morgan, isn't he?
Nope.
No.
Did Richard Goff play?
Yes.
Yeah, because he lives
Kansas
in
Kansas City, 61. Yeah. Okay, we'll leave it there. You've only got one to get. I've just received a message. It was actually on Instagram from someone called Jordan Murphy. Did you hear last night's Beat the Pundit?
No.
The contestant, Reese, was getting ready to go to Santa Ponza on his stag do.
Oh, nice.
So he decided to phone in. That was the start of the stag do, was taking part in Beat the Pundit, basically. So we said, jokingly, just keep us up to speed. Let us know how the stag do is going. I've just got a video from Jordan, and this is the scene currently. Is that supposed to be the Super Scoreboard theme?
Listen,
it certainly is when you've had 25 pints.
I think we'll beat that in Germany, Mark.
I've hummed it myself like that plenty of times. They look like they're having a great time.
Glad to see they're thinking of us. Good. It has to be said. Aye. Glad to see they're thinking of us. Right, let's bring in a Rangers fan who might be lacking in years compared to you two, but I bet you any money he speaks more sense. Bradley is on the line. How are you, Bradley?
Good.
How old are you, Bradley?
9.
Definitely going to talk more sense than Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. How does it feel to be a 9-year-old Rangers fan after the week you've had?
No real dress.
What are your thoughts on the chances though for the rest of the season?
I think if we did sign Shanklin, we would have been top of the league. We could have been top of the league if we had a good team. We do have a good team, but I think we've lost. We're not trying hard, and on against Dundee, Ruth won a free kick and he wanted to take it, but Taff didn't let him.
Oh, you're not getting free kicks off him, I don't think.
With a chance.
But you know what's funny? It doesn't matter if you're 9 or 90, there will be a large section of Rangers fans who will not stay away from Lawrence Shankland in particular, but even to go away slightly, the lack of signing of a striker in January.
I think it's only Shankland pops up now because we're now in a situation where people are looking at goal difference, aren't they? And you're looking at... looking at Rangers...
Before you get to that, a striker gives you more chance of winning a game
you look at Sunday with Dessers, for instance, you would fancy Shankland to score, right? You look at last night, if it's Shankland going through and the goalkeeper, as much as you can point back to, well, have a look at when he played with Scotland against the Netherlands, he missed a great chance 1-1, but Shankland's an actual goal scorer. I think Rangers lack that a little bit. I think when they're not playing particularly well, for instance, when Celtic aren't playing particularly well, you're always sitting there thinking, right, Kyogo will probably pop up with a goal and start something for him. I don't see anybody in the Rangers team. I know Seema had a great spell before he got injured and he's trying to get back to that sharpness and that fitness. But I don't see anybody in the Rangers team that at 0-0 last night at Dens Park, right? I think everybody got to a stage where they're thinking, Rangers ain't going to score here unless it's a Tavernier free kick or comes to a set play. Rangers, to me, just didn't look a team that were going to score.
Do you think Rangers will still win the league, Bradley?
We have a chance, maybe.
A chance, maybe. Where is it you're from, by the way?
Bayliston.
Right, listen, don't let this put you off, but Mark Wilson's from Bayliston. So yes. It just proves, Bradley, that you could easily be the best player to come out of Bayliston if you stick at it, all right?
Yeah.
Good man. There we are, Bradley. Talk
Bradley's
more sense than you already.
He is the best player to come out of Bayliston.
I'm officially from Broomhouse, Gordon. That's the more.
Is that different, is it?
Well, the more council estate version of Bayliston.
Right,
yeah.
I didn't know there was a distinction.
Yeah, it's just down the road.
I was actually at your old primary school yesterday.
St Francis of Assisi. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I'll not explain why right now, because the filming that we were doing, I think, is still to be released to the world. But they all, honestly,
they tell me it's one of the best uniforms.
They were all running about saying school. Mark Wilson.
Yeah. They've got pictures of me in the wall. They're all saying Jesus.
Mark Wilson
on the cross.
used to go to this school.
Me and Jesus is side by side.
Honestly,
I had many happy days there. Yep, loved that. I can't believe you were there.
I saw the Mark Wilson memorial. Maybe memorial was a strange word, given that you're still.
I'm still living, Well, that used to be a Red Ash pitch, and that's where rivalries against St Bridget's just up the road. Oh, yeah.
Is that where you honed
your
skills?
Do you know who managed St Bridget's and still does to this day?
Obviously not.
Mr. Davidson.
I mean, why would you ask me
There's
that?
There's always a Mr. Davidson.
No, Mr. McManus. Michelle McManus' dad.
Oh, right, okay. So I was never...
So he's a famous dad. Mm. He's still managing him just now, apparently.
All this time, I never knew that as well.
Anyway, I know, right.
Can't believe
you didn't
know
that.
Right over your head, that one. Right, we
got...
Never mind.
Is that not Joe McElderry, though?
Wasted in you. I don't know, probably. No, I don't think so.
Was that
a lyric, a song you tried to come out with there?
I had Michelle McManus all this time. That was good. That was good.
It's good knowledge.
I'll give you it even if it was not.
Okay, I don't know, but I'll give you it as well.
Do you know what? We haven't even really had time to look at the story about Dundee being fined for the pitch. Honestly, it's been such a busy, quick show that we'll do it tomorrow. We'll squeeze it. I just say that every night. We kick stories down the can for about 6 weeks.
Never come back to them.
Still not had calls on Lewis Ferguson's injury from earlier this week.
That's a disaster.
And Aaron Hickey and Nathan Patterson were...
Do it tomorrow.
Aberdeen have got a new manager. Anyone?
Do that Saturday.
Do you mean Saturday?
The title race is taking over the world, it feels like. Anyway, you've got one more to get in the teaser. Who are the 9 Scotland internationals who've played for an MLS club and have at least 10 caps? Chris Boyd, Stephen Caldwell, Richard Gough, Mo Johnson, Kenny Miller, Barry Robson, Johnny Russell, John Spencer.
Struggling here.
I thought you had that face that you knew. Does that wee smirk sometimes.
Nah.
When he's
give us
he's
a wee clue, Gordon.
Mark Wilson is definitely the one that should get this.
Oh no.
You played with him. You have family who
ties.
Live in the city that this guy played.
America.
Oh, Maloney.
Maloney.
Sean Maloney played for Chicago Fire, didn't he?
Sorry for giving everyone clues that only made sense to Mark Wilson, by the way. It was very in-joke of me. But Chicago Fire, 47 caps, Sean Maloney.
Yes.
Thank you, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel. I'll let you get away. You've got your nice jammies to buy now that we've announced that you're going to the Euros.
Matching jammies.
Commando.
Wish me luck, everyone.
There's a thought that will ruin your night. But anyway, we're back tomorrow. I can't quite put my finger on why it is, but after the type of week we've had on the pitch, lots of you have been getting in touch to ask me, where is Hugh Keevans? When is Hugh Keevans back on? We want to hear from Hugh Keevans. I don't know why, but I'll tell you what, you will have your wish tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Be there. Have a good night.